So let's pray. Let's ask for God's help. Our wise Heavenly Father, please enable us now to hear your word and to take it in and to align our hearts with your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once upon a time, four university students stayed up late watching Netflix. And when they woke up the next morning, they realized that they had an exam on and none of them had studied. And so they came up with a plan. They put on shirts and trousers and bow ties that they loosened off a little bit, and then they went out into the garden and rubbed dirt on their faces. And they went into uni, puffing and panting, and they told their lecturer, "Oh, we went to a wedding last night, but on the way back, the tyre on our car blew, and we had to push the car all the way home. We've only just arrived, and so please, we can't possibly do the exam today." "Okay," the lecturer said, "you can do a special consideration exam tomorrow." Well, when they came back the next day, they sat down to do their special exam and they were surprised that there were only two questions on the paper. The first question, worth one mark, "What is your name?" And the second question, which was worth 99 marks, was a multiple choice question. The question was, which tyre blew? A, front left, B, front right, C, back left, D, back right. What's the moral of this story? It's easy to come up with a plan. It's harder to come up with a good plan. Planning and wisdom actually go hand in hand. If you are a wise person, you'll always be considering how your actions today will affect you and others in the future. We make plans in all sorts of different contexts. We have personal plans. To some extent, we plan our house moves. We plan study and career and holidays and retirement. There are also plans for society. We look to our governments to plan well, knowing that roads and railways and hospitals don't just happen. They're the result of careful planning. And of course, in church, we plan for the work of the gospel. And it's good to plan for gospel work. The Apostle Paul planned his work in his letter to the Romans. In chapter 1, he says, "I planned many times to come to you." And then at the end of the letter, he says, "I've been longing many years to see you, and I plan to do so when I go to Spain." And I'm starting off this morning by emphasizing that planning is good. And I just want to start here because I don't know if you've ever come across a view of the Christian life, which I think is an unhelpful view, a view which says, no, it's not really spiritual to make plans. It's better just to follow the leading of God's Spirit day by day. Well, we do need to trust God, but trusting God is not the opposite of making plans. In fact, Proverbs says something quite strong about plans. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisers make victory sure." Okay, what's that talking about? This is talking about when the nation goes to war. And do you remember Proverbs is in this book? It's the king training up his son. And he's saying, "Son, if you're going to go to war, go in with a plan." And literally, that word I've highlighted, that word victory, literally in the English language, it's the word salvation. Remember, Old Testament, when the nation of God's people went to war and won, this was God's victory. This was God saving his people. Now, think about this. In this proverb, how does God save his people? Well, partly here, it's actually by giving his people's leaders the wisdom to make good plans. And so my hope and prayer is that God will use these plans as part of his work of saving people, of reaching new people with the gospel. One more thing I want to say before going further. I just want to remind you of sort of the big picture of Proverbs, the framework that I showed you a couple of weeks ago. Remember we're in this middle part of the book of Proverbs, which contains the one verse wise sayings. And you might remember that these verses don't really seem to be in any obvious order. It just each verse seems to jump to a new topic. And why is this? You might remember I said, I think it's the method, this random method, is actually part of the message of Proverbs. Proverbs is designed for wisdom in a life that is messy, where we never get all the wisdom we need to know on any given topic. We're always gathering new snippets. As a preacher, I guess I've got to decide, how are we going to teach these chapters? I mean, we could just sort of work through them one by one, one verse at a time, and I calculated that if we did that, we would get to the end of this section, end of Proverbs chapter 29, on the 3rd of February 2030. And I don't think that would be a wise plan. And so what we're doing today is I'm grouping together some of the proverbs that speak about wise planning. But of course, as we do this, we've got in the back of our minds, no, this is not everything the Bible has to tell me about planning. This is not even everything the book of Proverbs has to tell me about planning. But this is still really helpful stuff that God has given us to think through. Okay, here are four helpful things to bear in mind as we make plans. First, when we plan, we should humbly seek advice. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15 says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." When we ask for advice, we're admitting that we don't know it all. We're accepting that sometimes others can see things and think of things that we didn't think of. They can see things that we can't. That's why we're giving this to you in draft form before we run with it. Here's a question. In this proverb, does the fool know that he's being a fool? Does the fool know that he's being a fool? No, the fool thinks he's doing something really wise. And so when you have an idea, do you have wise people in your life that you can ask for advice? People who you can trust to let you know when you're being foolish. Okay, second thing to remember when making plans. Take time with important decisions. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." What does diligent mean? A diligent person is someone who's careful to do his job well. A diligent person takes time to think through the plan. A diligent person doesn't rush to get the job started and then finished. If you live in Reservoir, you may have noticed that there's been workmen all over the place digging up holes and laying cabling for the NBN, the National Broadband Network. When the original plan for the NBN was made in 2007, this national project was supposed to cost $15 billion and give every home in Australia an internet speed of 100 megabits per second. So that's 11 years ago. It's fair to say it hasn't quite gone to plan. And the latest estimate of the cost is more than three times as much. And the latest estimate of the speed that everyone gets is a quarter as much. So what went wrong? Well, an independent review that was done a few years ago found that the original plan was rushed, chaotic, and inadequate, and that the plan was conceived in 11 weeks and it was not fit for purpose and did not have clear operating instructions. So Proverbs is right. Haste does lead to poverty. But rushing, this idea, you know, we want to get it done. We want to show everyone that we're finished, we're ready, we're moving ahead. This is just so part of our instant world, isn't it? And we often feel like, no, there's no time to think, no time to plan, just time to do. So we need to remember this wisdom in the way that we function as a church. We need to take time before we appoint people into positions of leadership. We need to take time before we start important projects. That's why we're taking 6 months between circulating the draft and, we hope, coming up with a final version. I do realise it is possible to move too slowly. We don't want to listen to this but then end up becoming indecisive or sort of so perfectionist that we can never actually move ahead, because we've got to remember also the work of the gospel is urgent. But this proverb is helpful. It reminds us of the wisdom of slowing down and thinking about what we do. Okay, the third thing to bear in mind as you make plans is to work out your plans before God in prayer. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed." Now what's that mean? Because you could probably understand this proverb in a couple of ways. One way that you could read it is you could sort of think, well, I'll make up a plan for what I want to do and then I'll go to God and I'll say, "Please God, would you give this your stamp of approval?" If we're honest, there's this tendency within all of us to want it to be that way, just to want to put ourselves and our desires at the center and to kind of have God as our personal assistant. There's this tendency within us to say, okay, we've got okay Google, but for the more difficult things, we've got okay God. But that's, of course, not who the Bible reveals God to be. A much better way of understanding this proverb is to recognize the wisdom of coming before God in prayer throughout the planning process. Coming to God and examining our motives in the light of His holiness and His glory as He's revealed Himself in His Word. Coming to God, not just saying, "Hey, here's a finished product, here's all my wisdom," but actually coming to God open and asking Him for His wisdom. 300 years ago, a guy called Matthew Henry wrote about this proverb. And he said, "Lay the matter before the Lord by prayer, not only the works of your hand, but the workings of your heart. And then leave it with Him by faith and dependence upon Him, submission and resignation to Him. And we may then be at ease when we resolve that whatever pleases God shall please us." But praying as we plan, we're not necessarily expecting that we're going to get some direct vision from heaven. We're just coming to God, admitting how as sinners, our wisdom is so easily skewed towards selfishness. And how desperately we need His help to plan in a way that seeks after His glory rather than my glory. Because in the end, God says, "I will be glorified." And so if we are aiming for His glory, then that's what will succeed in the long term. And so when you read through this and before you give your ideas and feedback, it's wise to spend time humbling yourself before the Lord in prayer. Which leads us into our fourth piece of wisdom. Don't hold onto your plans too tightly. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." That's interesting. At the start, I gave you some examples of the Apostle Paul, how he talked about his plans. Actually, it's interesting. Half the time that he mentions his plans in his letters, half the time he's actually mentioning them because he's apologizing to people that his plans didn't work out. And so it's good for us to make plans, but we've also got to recognize that God has his plans. And there's a sense in which everything that happens is according to his plan and in line with the purpose of his will. And so we need to accept sometimes we got something planned and it even seems like something really good, but God has something else planned. I can look back on some of my own plans and I can think of times where, to be honest, I've been frustrated and even angry with God because my plans didn't work out. Actually, on reflection, I'm sure that sometimes God has prevented my plans from working out so that I can learn that in the end, I'm not in control, he's in control. Up here is a plan. Will we end up doing all of these things? Well, if it's God's will, we will. But if God has something else planned, we can't. And that won't be something to be disappointed in. Because if we find that God's ways are not our ways, then that's because God's ways are far wiser than our ways. Some of that came out in Whitney's testimony this morning. Things that she would never have chosen or planned for herself, but she can look back and see the wisdom of God. And never has this truth that God's ways are greater than our ways, never has this been more clearly seen than in the life of Jesus. You might remember last week, 100-year anniversary, some of you were here in the evening where we looked at one of the key moments in Jesus' life. It was that moment, do you remember that moment of clarity where Peter confessed who Jesus is? He said, "Jesus, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This was the moment where Peter and the disciples figured out, hang on a minute, this man Jesus is at the very center of God's whole plan for the world. Well, it's really interesting what comes after that. You could turn to that passage. It's in Matthew chapter 16 on page 1114. I'm looking at the section which starts at verse 21. So they've figured out who Jesus is. And then it says, from that time on, Jesus began to tell them what he's going to do. Figured out who he is. Now he begins to tell them what he's going to do. He begins to explain to them his plan. Can you imagine what it would have been like? Guys, come here. I'm going to tell you my plan. Are you ready? Here it is. We are going to Jerusalem, the place where my enemies hang out. And get this, they are going to arrest me and I'm going to suffer. And then you know what? I'm going to be killed and on the third day rise again. That's the plan. This makes absolutely no sense to Peter. In fact, Peter doesn't even believe that this could actually be a plan. He thinks that this is just Jesus being a bit pessimistic. And so Peter takes Jesus aside. He thinks, I'm going to help Jesus out. I'm going to give Jesus a bit of encouragement. And he says, no, Jesus, listen to me. Chin up. It's not going to be that bad. What does Jesus say? Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." From a human perspective, dying at the hands of his enemies didn't seem like much of a plan. But from God's perspective, this is the masterstroke. Because God knows far more than we do. See, we tend to think, okay, what I really need is comfort and success and honor and power. And so those are the things we plan for. But God knows that what we so desperately need more than any of those things is to have our sins dealt with. To deal with those things that make us unworthy of God and all his blessings. And God knows that in order to forgive our sins without undermining his glory, without undermining his holiness, there needed to be a judgment for our sins. And that's what happened when Jesus died on the cross. God worked out his brilliant plan in a way that shows his grace and his love and his justice all at the same time. And it's a plan that none of us would have come up with. And so, in life, when things don't go according to our plans, all is not lost. In fact, I'm convinced that on the last day, we will look back on all of the things that just make no sense to us right at the moment, but that we'll be able to look back and praise God for being so much wiser than us. And so friends, plan wisely. Plans are good, but be humble about them and seek advice and take time with the big decisions and work through them with God in prayer. And don't hold on to them too tightly, because God has greater plans than we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great wisdom. Wisdom which shows your glory. Wisdom which shows grace to us. Wisdom which achieves for us something that we could not do for ourselves. Wisdom that gives us a hope and a future. It's your wisdom, Lord, that gives us peace. Please enable us to trust you as we plan. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.